Your SteveJonesShow.com audio is coming up next. Audio and podcast of The Steve Jones Show, a service of Sunbury Motors, North 4th Street, Sunbury, and Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15, Hummel's Wharf.
Sports talk where your voice counts. This is The Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now, from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
And we welcome everyone here to the Thursday edition. All right, Kevin, go ahead and say it. It's the Thursday edition, which means...
it's all Steve Jones Thursday.
All right. Yes, Bill O'Brien will be on the show tonight from 6.05 to 7. Bill, my guess, is probably going to join us, I would say, about maybe 6.20 this evening. Once he gets through with practice, do not expect, despite prodding from the crowd, to announce who the starting quarterback is. And that's fine. He doesn't want to give Syracuse an advantage. There are also some other reasons as well.
What is the over-under on how soon he gets that question?
It'll take longer than you think, Kevin. I mean, because I think people understand. I think people actually get that he doesn't want to do it. So... and he's not. How about they? He's not going to do it. I think people actually get that concept. I mean, really, I think they do. And because they get that concept, I think that he's not going to get the question.
But you mentioned earlier in the week you believe he knows who it is already, and the players also know.
Oh my God, he's known since the end of last week.
No. I mean, we assume he knows. It's his brain. We would hope he knows, but also the players are aware.
Of course they are. They know who's practicing with the ones. Right? I mean, they know that. They know how it goes. They talk to these kids. They know. But they're under strict instructions that they're not going to talk about it. They also know that if they do talk about it, that, there are consequences to talking about it.
There have been no tweeting about it, I'll tell you that much.
No, nor should there be. I mean, there should not be. I mean, if again, the same thing. If I lay down the law to my team in a conversation with them, all right, and I tell them that this is not to get out, and I find out on your Twitter account that you put it out, okay, Johnny Manziel's suspension is going to look awfully light compared to yours.
What is it you said to me the one time? There are a lot of steps at Beaver Stadium.
There are a lot of steps at Beaver Stadium, and it's about time you became acquainted with each one intimately. I mean, I think that's something that is an internal team deal. And because it's an internal team deal, you make sure that you keep it that way.
Speaking of team rules and coaches, I have a video for you to look at one of these days when time permits. The Nebraska coach put together a great plan. He was talking to his team about how he doesn't want phones going off during the team meeting. One phone goes off. He confiscates the phone, comes out with a hammer, and starts smashing it. And
that would solve it.
And continues to talk about how it's not acceptable. Now, it was all a setup.
Sure,
the players in the room are freaking out at this point.
Right.
Because they just watched somebody's $200 phone get smashed to bits. And it was all an elaborate hoax by the coach. But what a great one.
But it makes a point. And it's very important... that when you make that kind of point, that it is done in such a way where it tells everybody, hey, look, this is how we do things here. When I am up in front and I am talking to each of you, complete attention, cell phones off. And that's it. That's important. That's really important. And I think that's the kind of thing, your son's involved in school right now.
Sure.
Right?
Yeah.
So So since he's involved, he knows exactly what we're talking about here.
Absolutely.
And it's that's one of the things I love about sports. I think sports gives you that discipline, okay? And I think that's a very important thing that sports gives to a young man or a young woman. That kind of discipline to know that the distractions of the world around you are not acceptable behavior when you are involved doing business. And that's what it is. You're doing business at that point. Okay? And since you're doing business, I think that's the primary point that you make with your student athletes. And it will benefit them exponentially in the world once they understand that. You know, that, okay, you take the cell phone example. I go to a big meeting at Merrill Lynch. Better keep the phone off. Okay, because guess what? At Merrill Lynch, I need to concentrate on what I'm doing and not some other issue. How about that?
So that's why you never respond to my texts.
No, there are other reasons. All right, 800-795-95. Now, I respond to your texts. All right, let's get a little look at Syracuse coming up. Because Scott Schaefer is going to join us on Inside Penn State Athletics, courtesy of Learfield Sports. Welcome. Great to have you with us on this Thursday. Heard Scott Schaefer there moments ago, the head football coach at Syracuse. A little continuity for them along the way by putting him and installing him as the head coach, feeling that would give them momentum after what they accomplished last year. And the Kevin Hurd touchdown shikalimi in the middle.
Be nice to say that a few times tomorrow night.
Come up with that one yourself? Or?
You really want to know?
Yeah.
What happened was there hadn't been a score. Actually, I think it was two games that Shikalimi had gone without scoring a touchdown.
I'm no expert, but that's not good.
It was a long couple of games. I mean, they were kicking field goals, but field goals don't often win you games. And when they finally did score a touchdown after, I think it was about 10 quarters of play, I got really excited. And it just kind of, everybody kind of chuckled and laughed about it, and it just kind of stuck.
Stuck, did it? Really?
Yes. Well, it stuck for me. Maybe nobody else likes it, but just stuck for me.
I was just wondering.
No, I've been asked many times why that happens and why I do it, and it kind of rolls because there's so many cool syllables. Because shikalimi rolls kind of rolls along.
Yes, it does. I was just wondering what the genesis of that was.
That's it. That's it.
Interesting. How many touchdowns did they score last year?
I did it a lot last year.
Well, good. That's fun.
I mean, it doesn't always fit. If it's a one-yard touchdown run, it doesn't fit. I mean, not that there's anything wrong with a one-yard touchdown run, but it's not like I do it every time.
What's the most exciting play you ever called?
I'll have to think about that a minute. I'm trying to think of who the running back was. Probably in the third or fourth year of doing shikalimi games. It's almost an 80-yard run. And it was a run where there was about four or five cuts. I think it was Kazi Spiegelmeyer that actually ran it. And he made four or five cuts in the middle of the field. And I was trying to get him from where the hash mark was to try and describe where he was, because he literally ran about 120 yards for a 60-yard touchdown. So you're trying to mark where he is on the field, and then he cuts to the middle of the field, and then he cuts back to the outside, and then to the inside hash mark. It was just crazy. That was probably the most fun.
Wow. That's a wild play.
Yeah, he must have made three or four cuts in the middle of the field on that one to break and broke a couple of tackles in the process.
Right. Well, Matt Park, who's the play-by-play voice of Syracuse, is expected to be our guest at 3:35. We also have Corey Geiger today to talk about the Nittany Lions in Syracuse. Looking forward to that.
I think I saw some of his posts on the Syracuse page.
Who? Matt or Corey?
I think it was Corey. No, you know who it was? It was Nate Mink.
Oh, Nate Mick, yeah.
It was Nate.
I think we have Nate scheduled tomorrow.
Yeah, it was Nate that had a couple on the Syracuse page about the game.
Hmm. Well, the NFL has settled lawsuits. Also, did you see what the Big Ten is doing?
I don't think so. What did
I
miss?
The Big Ten is going to put all the replays up on the board.
Wow.
How about that? I think
that's a big move.
Well, it's, how many times have I talked about this?
Yeah, that's exactly right.
You can't. You know, I think that they know that it's unlimited. What they're doing is unlimited. And I've talked about this. I had to laugh because Jim Delaney used the exact same verbiage I've been using over and over again. Let's see.
Is he listening to the show now online?
Well, listen to what he said. Our goal on game day is to blend the best parts of an in-stadium experience with the best parts of an at-home experience. Enhanced replay is just one way to do that, and we look forward to making it available to our fans this year.
I'd like to welcome Jim, listening online at WKOK.com right now.
League's also encouraging institutions to provide full Wi-Fi service throughout the stadium. Upgrade in-stadium video content. Create social media lounges in their stadiums. Last season, the Big Ten average attendance declined to 70,387, the lowest since 2008. And he's right about all that. The social media lounges, upgrading Wi-Fi, which, of course, upgrades the social media experience. Penn State's been trying to do that. They put a brand new tower in behind Medler Field, Lebron Park last year to see if they can improve the situation in the stadium. Matt Park next.
Taking your calls at 800-795-9565. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Is that the same Reichley we know?
I believe so, yes.
The twin brother?
Not that I'm aware of.
Evil twin? All right. Bill O'Brien will be at Damon's here in State College tonight. Thus, he'll be on the show this evening, taking questions about his team and this week's game with Syracuse. So there you go.
That's right. It's all Steve Jones Thursday, where there's so much Steve Jones, you'd think we don't have anything else on the air.
I don't really see what's wrong with your complaint, rant.
I didn't say that was bad. I don't even think it was inferred.
It sounded petty.
Well, that might be.
Time now to bring in the guy that's, whether it's football or basketball, many consider to be an outstanding play-by-play voice, the play-by-play voice of Syracuse, Matt Park. Matt, welcome to the show. It is great to have you with us.
Hey, Steve, thanks for having me. Assuming you have the right guy.
That lead in? I don't know. They wrote a name down here and they said, say these things about him. No, I'm just kidding. I've heard you many times. It's one of the great things. I mean, I know we promote local stations that carry the games, but it's one of the great things about SiriusXM. You get a chance to listen to a lot of people across the country. Syracuse and Scott Schaefer, your thoughts on the hire and the kind of tone he has set at Fort Drum?
Well, a couple of different things, although I think the whole idea of Fort Drum and building toughness and togetherness are very much part of what he brought to the table when being hired. At the time, it was just the smartest play, I think, was the thought of the athletic director, Dr. Darryl Gross, at the time. Keep momentum, elevate a guy who's really worked hard as a defensive assistant everywhere he's been, universally respected by the players, and somebody that deserves a shot, you know. And he's done a good job in terms of building a coalition on the team. They're very much like-minded. He hired a staff cut from the same cloth. They're, you know, well coached to this point, and now it's time to take on a game, and they've got a couple of tough ones out of the gate.
No question. What about bringing in George McDonald as the offensive coordinator and everything he did at Miami?
Well, the thought process there was to, again, keep up a bit of the momentum that had been created, in particular last year, when right about this time of last year, coming off the Fort Drum experience within 2 weeks of the start of the season and going into the Northwestern game, they basically scrapped what their game plan was offensively and decided to go no huddle, up tempo, and it had great results right from the opening game. And McDonald was headed to Arkansas with Brett Bielema to be a wide receiver coach and a top recruiter there after a couple of years at Miami, and couldn't pass up this opportunity to come and be a coordinator. And the thought is that he's going to pick up where Hackett left off in some ways and run a lot of plays and be up-tempo.
Tell us about the two quarterbacks, Drew Allen, the transfer from Oklahoma, and a guy that was highly regarded out of New York City, Terrell Hunt.
Yeah, it's hard to separate them, and I know that's the case with the Penn State quarterbacks. These two guys have different backgrounds, certainly, but from everything we're hearing right now, that the coaches are having a hard time really discerning one from the other and for making a strong case for one player starting over the other at this point. And while I think maybe behind the scenes they've tipped their hand, they're keeping a pretty good secret about it, and they've even this morning Schaefer had said that both quarterbacks are of the understanding that they are to be prepared to play come Saturday. Drew Allen looks the part. He's a really big guy, 6'5", 240. Looks like a guy that was the quarterback at Texas or Oklahoma or, you know, that type of player. And he just hadn't played that much behind Sam Bradford or Landry Jones. And you could be a really good player and not see time behind those two guys because they were high draft choices. Terrell Hunt, you know, different sort of backgrounds, been in the program longer, you know, spiritual guy and what he's been through, lost both of his parents and that type of thing and plays for them. On the field, you know, the thought or the stereotype would be he would run more and better or whatever. I don't know that that's actually true in this case. I think Allen throws a better deep ball. Hunt might be a little more accurate in the short term and maybe a little bit more of a playmaker with his feet. But right now it's too close to call.
But they do have a running game.
Right.
Yeah, I mean, with Smith and Gully. Now, did they bring different styles to the table, Matt, that can change the tone of a game as to which one's in?
A little bit. You know, Jerome Smith had a slow start to last year and then really got a lot of momentum. He's a harder runner between the tackles, bigger guy than Gully, and Gully had a very good ball game, which has obviously given him a lot to be hopeful for coming into this year. And then I think the next guy down is a freshman, George Morris, a guy that the previous coaching staff was very high on. He did not get on the field last year, so he's a redshirt freshman heading into Saturday's game, and he would be the quickest of the three, and I think the most likely to be a home run hitter out of that group. But this is a program that has had a 1,000-yard rusher every year, and certainly that's where they hang their hat going into this season.
What about the guys that Hunt or Allen can throw to? Is this a well-rounded group? Is this a group that has you know, some chain movers on top of having some deep threats?
I think they're largely unproven. It's a drop-off from guys that were productive in the system last year. Alec Lemon had a couple of monster games, and really the tone was set earlier than that by Marcus Sales, who had been through a tumultuous past and had come out and had a terrific season after sitting out the prior year. They're both gone. They'll throw to Jared West. I think he's a guy that can stretch the field. Jeremiah Cabina can really run, and he's been a big play guy, but the consistency hasn't been there. Adrian Fleming's been injured his whole career, so hasn't really set his mark. Chris Clark's another kind of straight-line runner that they can hit a deep ball to potentially. I think Beckett Wales at the tight end spot, you know, is a guy to watch for. Going back a couple of seasons, really their best, you know, threat stretching the field was the tight end, Nick Provo.
Right.
And can they keep that going with Wales, to me, is a question. So I think it's really going to be the short passing game, the possession game to those guys, and then see if they can take a shot to West, Cabina, Clark, somebody like that.
The tapes I looked at, I really like the Syracuse offensive line. It looks like they have some veterans back, including Mackie McPherson at center.
Right. Lost two pros there, including a first-round pick, Justin Pugh, had been three-time all-conference at left tackle. Zach Chabane was at left guard, and he's gone. So they'll rework that. But the coaches, both current and present, previous, were high on Sean Hickey, who kind of anchors that line. Mackie McPherson, you know, the son of coach, or grandson of Coach Mack, is just super bright and well-liked and a captain, fittingly, on this team. So he's going to go into his third year as a starter. And then the right side is largely new guys that haven't really been tested.
A lot of guys that haven't been tested would be in the defensive front, but that's not Jay Bromley. What kind of player is Jay?
Yeah, Jay's a, you know, a really interesting guy, big smile on his face all the time, and then a bruiser on the field. You know, they'll try, like all teams try to do, you know, rotate in six or eight people there. I think in recent years this might be the deepest that that group is. Eric Kroom is a big space eater. He's actually lost some weight, I think, to get down to 305. Bromley is disruptive. And then to me, a guy that stands out in practice and spring ball and these scrimmages is Robert Welsh. I think he's got an opportunity to be a pass rusher on one side along with Micah Robinson.
Yeah. The linebackers. Tell us a little bit about Davis and Lynch and Spurl.
Dyshawn Davis, you know, guy along with Marquise Spruill, same deal. They've made a ton of tackles. Cam Lynch is a really talented player. He's, before Syracuse going into the ACC, sticks out as a guy that they've gotten from the South. He's a Georgia guy from near Atlanta, and the thought on him was he's listed at 5'11". If he was 6'2", he'd be in the SEC.
Right, yeah.
But he's not. And, you know, there's a story a lot of those guys at this level of football are in the Northeast. And he's a guy that you just find he's around the pile and makes plays. So that group, while they maybe not have all played together a great deal, you know, I think would be a strength of the defense right now.
Yeah, and guys that they're going to really, I mean, build around, because Shamarco Thomas, was it safe to say that they built the defense around him last year, Matt?
Yeah, and he and Scott Schaefer, I mean, were super tight. I think Schaefer, as the defensive coordinator, loved having a guy like that that he could send from different angles and that was a leader and, you know, unbelievable in terms of his, you know, leading by example in the weight room and that type of thing, a huge hitter. The guys that take over at safety now, I don't think you would say you would use that description, huge hitter. Darrell Eskridge, 6'3", will stand out on the field. He's noticeable because of his size, being big for a defensive back. He'll get in there and I think be disruptive, but certainly Thomas is a tough guy to replace, you know, in your state now with the Steelers, and everybody from this vantage point thinks that's a great fit for him.
Well, everybody, I can tell you right now, people in Steeler camp that I know have told me straight out that that is a football player. In fact, he probably was underdrafted in the fourth.
He may have been. He went and had a great combine. I think he, another guy with a smile on his face, he can laugh about it now. He tripped over the end line at the 40-yard dash, but really opened people's eyes for his work ethic and the way he approached that stuff. I think he came out of there with a bit of a hamstring injury, what have you. But, he could very well have a bright future.
There are a lot of people that feel pretty good about the Syracuse kicking game. You have veterans. There are veterans certainly in that kicking game, and Kropman and Fisher and Norton is the kickoff guy, and then some youth on returns.
Yeah, Ross Kropman came out and just kicked the door down his first year. He flirted with Gary Anderson's school records as a freshman, and then has just not been quite as reliable the last 2 years. But that being said, his numbers still have been pretty good. I would not say he's got terrific range, but 45 yards and in, it should be 3 points.
Yeah, but how is he outside, Matt? And he and Fisher, how are they outside compared to kicking inside the dome?
Yeah, it's a great question. I don't know. I'd have to go back and track the misses, home and road and that type of thing. I don't think that's a huge issue. This game Saturday at MetLife is not Giant Stadium,
Exactly.
They have enclosed it in such a way that I don't think it has the same sort of wind tunnel patterns that the old place did. You'll see it when you get there. The place is remarkable. It's a beautiful modern facility.
Norton, I was going to ask you about that next.
And the return game they could get more out of. I think every team says they could get more.
Yeah. Penn State needs more. Yeah.
One break away or whatever from busting one. So these two guys are both new running backs.
Yeah, and you mentioned Morris is one of those guys. They're going to try and put him back there, I guess, on kickoff.
Yeah, I think that's a way to, some coaches have that philosophy. I guess it's Schaefer's deal that he likes to have running backs, running back kicks, because you don't see that from every team. In fact, I would say it's somewhat rare. But it's a way to get freshmen touches and get their hands on the ball. And so that's how Morris and McFarland look like they're going to break in.
I was going to ask you about the stadium because you've done a game in there. I mean, you did the USC was in there last year against Syracuse.
Yeah, it's really cool. Yeah. The last couple of big money, big market stadiums, you look at Dallas, which I haven't been to, and I know it's phenomenal, Yankee Stadium, and then this MetLife. The technology is just incredible, and there's no concern over space there. So they can just do things. It's two teams, so they've got bells and whistles that other stadiums wouldn't even think of having. For instance, a lot of the signage and stuff is digital, so that instead of going from one week to the next changing blue stuff to green stuff because it's the Giants going into a Jets game, they just flip a switch, and change some things around. When Syracuse played there last year against USC, it felt very much like a Syracuse home game. They were able to change a lot of the markings and stuff to orange, and there's a souvenir stand downstairs where within a matter of minutes, I guess, they can shovel the Giant stuff out and the Jet stuff in right on the same racks and hangers and stuff. So they've thought of a lot of things. You'll see when you get in there that there's a lot of consideration for the scale of the city and that type of thing, just the way there is at Yankee Stadium, where it just looks like money was no object, that type of deal. So I think fans will enjoy it. Obviously, there'll be a ton of Penn State fans there as well.
Yeah. How big a game as an opener is this for Syracuse? What's the perception of the game from the Syracuse point of view as to what this does or does not mean?
It's important. I take the first two games in a lump, in that you've got to win one of those two, I think, to get where you want to go. The Northwestern is next week on the road. Mm-hmm. And then the two after that would not be as challenging. Wagner comes into the dome for the opener, and then Tulane before Clemson is the ACC opener. Certainly the older fans and former players, there's something in them about Penn State and the series and that type of thing. I don't think the younger players get it. They're all, the deal. They're all coached and they're given index cards, or there's something on a PowerPoint presentation somewhere along the line in one of their team meetings, but I don't think they really get it. The long snapper is a state college kid, Sam Rogers.
He's right.
See the stadium from his house, so that's cool, and it's big for him. So, certainly you want to start off 1-0. You'd love to beat Penn State if you had the opportunity. To me, it's important that they get one of two, and Northwestern was a team that they should have beaten at the Dome last year.
What does the future of Syracuse athletics look like now that it's the ACC?
Well, it's changing every day. So I shouldn't say changing, it's developing. So I don't know that I could really plot it out down the road. The athletic director now has just taken a different approach from his predecessor, where everything is done on a large scale. They are trying to compete across the board, the Olympic sports, the women's sports, and they've had a great deal of success and improvement in those areas. Facilities are certainly important. You know, that's where you're talking about spending the extra money that you're going to get from the ACC. Scheduling, I think more or less is going to be the same as it's always been. If you look at the conference that they're going into, the ACC, especially once Louisville and Notre Dame are in, it's going to feel just as much the Big East as the Big East was, mm-hmm. and keeping the Big East wasn't an option. You know, you can see how that's disintegrating or fading into Conference USA or whatever. So I think people will really enjoy it. You know, the fans will. It'll take them the first TV timeout of the opening ACC basketball game to realize, hey, this is pretty cool, and that you don't miss playing Seton Hall again. And in football, nobody's going to miss South Florida and Rutgers and Connecticut. All of that is for the better, and now it's just a matter of kind of navigating through it there and seeing where you fit in competitively.
Well, I mean, to me, this is long-term insurance. I mean, mm-hmm. Being in the Big East, as great as it was for you, I mean, financially, it's a league. I mean, the ACC is going to bring guaranteed money in every year because of the TV packages. They're probably going to be, what, four times what they had before. I mean, I would think life, especially for the Olympic sports, are going to get better.
No question. Yeah, I guess conservatively people were thinking the money would be triple. Now, as ADs will tell you here and elsewhere, when everybody knows you're getting more money in, then people are in your office with proposals for how to spend that. You know, you're going to spend what you have.
Right.
You know, so it's the arms race. There's a football indoor practice facility that's in the works to go next to Manly Fieldhouse. And, you know, those are the projects that are on the horizon. But when I'm asked by fans, you know, what do you think of the switch and that type of thing, first of all, you have to understand that there is no alternative like what you have in your mind. You know, Syracuse as an institution would have loved to have stayed in a thriving Big East. But that doesn't exist. That's not an option. Virginia Tech, Miami, Boston College have already moved on. The Catholic schools that don't play football didn't fit in. They wanted to do their own thing. It just wasn't going to be like that for much longer. And so the idea is to get to some higher ground and some stability. And they've done that. And it's only gotten stronger since they've made their decision because Notre Dame and Louisville have jumped in.
Matt, an absolute pleasure. I look forward to talking with you on Saturday.
Anytime, Steve. We'll see you there.
Matt Park, play-by-play voice, Syracuse Orange Radio Network. Hope everybody has a primer now on who Penn State is facing on Saturday at MetLife. We'll come back, talk with more with the Prince of Touchdown, Shekalimi. That would be you, right?
Horty's going to be here?
Horty, yes. Yes. The reason they created the cough button. Here on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
Congratulations! Now that you've gone to Sunbury Motors, that vehicle of your dreams is now a reality. To keep it running at its absolute best, you can rely on the experts at Sunbury Motors Service Department. They offer a wide range of car repairs and service updates, including general repairs and that all-important regular maintenance. If a factory recall is the issue, Sunbury Motors Service Department can handle them all, from all the major manufacturers like Ford, Hyundai, Kia, and Lincoln. All warranty service and repair is done with the utmost care because they treat your vehicle just like it's their own. Whether you need an oil change, transmission service, brakes, or even engine repair, Sunbury Motor Company has you covered. From the smallest item all the way up to the largest, the service department at Sunbury Motor Company will do it all with the same attention to detail. Visit sunburymotors.com to use their handy schedule service to make your next appointment. Or call 888-536-8017. Sunbury Motor Company in the North 4th Street Auto Plaza, Sunbury. And on Routes 11 and 15, Hummel's Wharf, a tradition of trust since 1915.
Next half hour, Corey Geiger joins us from the Altoona Mirror to talk about Penn State football and issues nationally. And the Kevin Herr rant of the day. Wow, it's a beauty.
Hi, this is State Representative Linda Schlegel-Culver, sending congratulations to WKOK Sunbury on 80 years of service to the Susquehanna Valley.